I'd limit how often I'd go out. Actually, I didn't really go out that much because I was just so like worried that I might, you know, get it and then bring it back home and then spread it throughout the household. And, you know, the last thing I want is to be like, you know, get everyone I love sick.
Life is complicated, but getting healthy doesn't need to be. And hello. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Inland Medical Center's Health Matters. This is a monthly podcast that gets real about wellness, and we get to check in on ourselves. I'm Susie Laurie Hall, and I'll be your host. We're going to have some candid conversations on health topics that matter most to you and our loved ones and our family. And the goal is to empower, inspire, and make a difference. We're going to be joined with Inlo experts with real insight and real stories from people just like you and me. And we're going to learn easy steps that we can take to start down the road to wellness. COVID-19 vaccines are saving and changing lives. As more people get vaccinated, a sense of normalcy is returning. People are starting to get together at graduations, birthdays, and so much more. It seems like we can finally breathe a little easier. This is especially true for our frontline workers who are afraid of getting COVID-19 and bringing the virus home to their families. Today, I sit down with one such person. Teresa Munoz, an Oroville native, who works in healthcare and was eagerly awaiting the COVID-19 vaccine for herself and her teenage son, Teo. They'll tell us what their family took into consideration when making the decision to get vaccinated and why getting the vaccine was so important to them. Teo will also share what it was like getting his shot and how life has changed since he received it. Dr. Marcia Nelson, Inlo's chief medical officer, also joins us to discuss the COVID-19 vaccines, how the virus has affected the Hispanic community, and what vaccines mean for the community. And yes, we know that some people are still unsure about the vaccines, and we get it. So we'll talk about that too. So thank you everyone for being here today. It's exciting. We're kind of celebrating some health, which is a little bit different than the other ones we've been discussing. Perhaps we could go around the table and have everyone say hello.
Hi.
Teresa, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi. Yeah. So I'm, like you said, an Oroville native. I was born and raised in Oroville. And I actually went to school here in Chico. So I went to Chico State, then moved down south. And now I am practicing medicine in the Bay Area.
Nice. Hi, Teo.
Hi, I'm Teo. I am a 11th grader. I go to Albany High School in the Bay Area.
But you come to Oroville in the summer.
Yeah.
Hang out with your family.
Yeah, I come visit my grandparents up in Oroville. And I just help out, you know, my grandpa with his jobs. I like to play sports. I like to play video games. I like to listen to music, hang out with friends.
Nice.
And vaccination really helped me get back into the world. Just spend time with people who I care about.
Love that. Hi, Dr. Nelson.
Hello there. I'm Dr. Marcy Nelson. I'm the chief medical officer at Enlow Medical Center. And also for the last 32 years, I've been a family doctor here in Chico. Like Teresa, I went to Chico State. I grew up in Reading, but then came down to Chico State for undergrad and always knew that I wanted to come back after training.
Teresa, before COVID-19, the vaccine came out, what was your stance on vaccines in general?
Yeah, well, I think vaccines are really important. I think that they have helped eradicate many very serious illnesses, and they have led to longer lifespans and less suffering in general. So I believe in vaccines. Both Teo and I are up to date on our vaccines. We get the flu vaccine every year. The one year that Teo didn't get his flu vaccine, he got a really, really bad flu. And then he passed it on to everyone else in the house. And after that, I made a commitment never to forget. So as soon as the vaccine comes out, he gets it.
Do you remember that time?
Yeah, yeah, I do.
And who else lives in the house with you guys?
So my parents come and stay with us part-time. And at that time when Teo was sick, my sister was living with us. She thought she was dying. She said her muscles were aching. Yeah.
That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man. When did you guys get vaccinated?
So I got vaccinated pretty early on in December. And it was offered to everyone on staff where I work. And it was offered to us, but not a requirement, right? You didn't have to get vaccinated. And I knew I was going to get vaccinated, though I did have some hesitations because, you know, the process, though not new, was relatively sped up. And it was, I had never lived through a pandemic. Everything was new and kind of scary. But again, I do believe in vaccines, and I wanted to get vaccinated. And my thought was, well, by the time they get to me, it's going to be a few months, you know. And I submitted my name. And it was like a Monday, and they're like, okay, on Friday is your appointment. Yeah, but it was fine. You know, what helped really was the excitement of everybody else who was getting vaccinated. It helped me just calm my nerves.
That's great. Yeah. Did your parents living with you, did that factor into your decision?
Oh, yeah, it did. So, you know, when the pandemic started, there was a lot of anxiety everywhere. There was a lot of anxiety in my house. Because I was the one going out, I felt a big sense of responsibility, right? And I thought, God, if anybody's going to bring this in, it's going to be me. And so for sure, I wanted to be vaccinated just to have that extra layer of protection. And I thought, you know, the last thing that I want is for a family member to get sick. And my parents are older. So I knowing that the, you know, elderly population, it was at a higher risk of severe COVID. Yeah, it certainly made my decision a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned again that your parents live with you, which is not uncommon, right? In the Hispanic community, living with multi-generational families is pretty common, mm-hmm. and a normal thing. What challenges did that pose for you and your family regarding work going out before the vaccine was available?
Yeah, so we kind of came up with like just, well, I guess our life changed completely. I was the only one going out, and it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work for me because I had to make sure that besides going to work, and I also had to make sure that we had like groceries, right? And that if we needed milk, that we, you know, that I would get the milk. Because the other thing was my parents are pretty independent. And so I needed to make sure everything they needed was at home. Otherwise, they wanted to go to the store and buy it. And I did not want that. So I just felt a big sense of responsibility. For my dad, it was hard because he's used to being the head of the household, right? And really used to going out and not asking for help. So he needed to ask me now for help or for things that he needed. And then for my mom, I remember she was really worried at the beginning of the pandemic because she wasn't sure what was going to happen. You know, she knew she was elderly. She had some chronic conditions, and she thought, God, maybe this is it. You know, maybe this is what I'm going to die from. Thank God that didn't happen. And of course, Tao like stayed home from school. So the one positive thing, I guess, out of all of this was that I was able to ride my bike to work because I didn't have to drop him off in school anymore.
So Tao, I imagine the pandemic was really challenging for you. As a teenager, what was it like not seeing your friends and having to go on virtual learning? Did you feel isolated?
Yeah. During the beginning, I just remember me and my friends were all kind of like excited that school was like let out for a few weeks. And so, oh, it's just like distance learning. Everything's on the computer. Shouldn't be that hard. And then weeks turned to months and then months into a year. And it just got really tiresome, you know, doing the same thing basically over and over and then not being able to see our know each other and just like going out, doing sports, going out to get food together. And that was just kind of difficult to like see how we couldn't like do what we normally do on a daily basis.
And I imagine, again, living that responsibility of living with your grandparents, did you also feel that sense of responsibility?
Yeah, I'd also limit how often I'd go out. Actually, I didn't really go out that much because I was just so like worried that I might, you know, get it and then bring it back home and then spread it throughout the household. And, you know, the last thing I want is to be like, you know, get everyone I love sick.
So Dr. Nelson, COVID-19 had a significant impact on the Hispanic community. Can you tell us more about that? How has the virus affected this community specifically?
We've spent a lot of time tracking the impact of COVID-19 on all the different communities in this area, the Black communities, Hispanic, white communities, the Asian. And what has been a consistent trend since the start of it is that there have been more Hispanics admitted to the hospital in proportion to their representation in the community. And as I've been tracking also on vaccine rates, there is more of an opportunity to get the Hispanic population fully vaccinated compared to white population, the Black population, the Asians. So it when I look at that data, it just tells me how vulnerable the population is. You may not be reaching the Hispanic population in a way that it feels like this, that we're a trusted resource for them. And also we found out we had some opportunities to talk with some groups of Hispanic community leaders. And what we found out was that we weren't doing a great job in getting the information out. It was, you know, talking, as Teresa was saying, about what are some of the silver linings to the pandemic. Ours at the hospital was realizing that we had a lot of opportunities we could take advantage of to communicate better, to get the information out to the Hispanic community, because we didn't have as much Spanish language materials out for that particular community. Our signage was not great. So we didn't have a way to really get that information out to people in a way that was meaningful for them. In order to do that, what we did was we recruited some of our Hispanic staff at the hospital, including a couple physicians who did some Facebook programs and recorded messages, which I think just makes, it's always better to communicate when you trust the person who's giving you the message. And so I think that we learned a lot, and it was very gratifying and very humbling as somebody in administration at the hospital to say, oh, we can do better. And I think we did end up doing better.
What is contributing to the staggering numbers? I know we mentioned that locally, we feel like we could have done a better job of really connecting with our diverse community. But what are some other things that the research is telling us that's contributing to these staggering numbers?
In the Hispanic community in particular? Well, from what I have read, there is a real concern and I certainly understand it, that among people who may be undocumented, especially up here where there's so much agriculture, and there could be a very understandable concern, a fear even, about what would happen if they stepped forward, said, here I am, giving any sort of information in order to get the vaccine. There could be a lot of fear that would only jeopardize a person's ability to stay in the United States. So I think that was probably a pretty significant factor in not getting treatments and vaccinations. And also, again, just making sure that we had the right avenues to get the information about vaccines, about treatments, about symptoms, educating people, listening to concerns, and then giving information to counter any concerns, making sure that there was good enough communication in order to address people's fears, because everyone has been afraid of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, in the spring, your parents were able to get vaccinated. How did that feel?
That was great. It was big relief for everybody in the house. Yeah, they were ready to be vaccinated. I don't remember what the original age cutoff was, but my parents didn't quite meet it. And it seemed like it was taking forever, right? It's like, when is it going to be my turn? But eventually they got it, and we were all very excited. My sister, who lives up here in Chico, helped them get their appointments at the community vaccine centers that are here in Chico. And it was actually a really straightforward process. My parents' English is limited, so we helped them get their appointments. But then they came to their appointments by themselves. They said that it was easy. They didn't really have a whole lot of questions. I believe they had their follow-up appointment for the second dose. Yeah, it was very straightforward. And yeah, everybody was really happy that they were able to get vaccinated.
So when the vaccines became available for the teens, were you ready to get Teo vaccinated?
Yeah, I was. You know, my family's safety is my top priority. And he was the last one in our family to get vaccinated. And so I was just, yeah, we were ready. I also realized that his life, he lost a lot, right? Because of the pandemic, that he hadn't really been going out because of fear, right? Fear that he might get sick and then bring it into the household. Or even if he didn't bring it into the household, that he would get sick and maybe have some complication from the disease. And so I knew that he needed to start venturing out more, right? And so like start playing sports again, like doing things outdoors and hanging out with some of his friends. And so I was definitely ready for him and, you know, his friends and classmates to get vaccinated.
Teo, are you excited to get vaccinated?
Yeah, I was. So at family gatherings, everyone would be vaccinated already. And I remember they would keep saying, oh, but Tay wasn't vaccinated. And then that would be a major complication. And so getting the vaccine, you know, I'd finally be able to like go and see my family. I'd finally be able to go see my family after so long. And so that was a great relief. And then being able to go back and play sports, that definitely helped with like the, you know, my mental well-being throughout the whole pandemic.
And did you think getting the shot was hard or was it pretty straightforward?
It was pretty straightforward, actually. I didn't have any side effects. The only like, you know, major thing was like the soreness in my arm. Yeah, other than that, it was pretty good.
Dr. Nelson, what should parents do if they have questions about vaccinating their kids?
I would talk to somebody in the medical profession, somebody who they trust. Talk to their child's doctor. I've been doing a lot of research into different rumors and misinformation about the vaccines. And it's remarkable and really scary to me how they can get legs and people start worrying about, they start worrying about things that really aren't based in fact. And so I think that the best thing to do, especially if you hear something that sounds kind of over the top and really, really kind of makes you feel afraid about getting the shots, talk to your child's doctor. That's always the best way to go. Our public health departments also have lots of good information, lots of good links. So you can check the public health department. But I think always start with your doctor.
And if you would feel comfortable, what would you say is the medical community's stance on vaccinating youth against COVID? And how do we know that they are safe?
The American Academy of Pediatrics has supported getting vaccines for kids 12 to 17. And I think that that's really the greatest stamp of approval that the most respected body of pediatricians or children's doctors has said that this is something that we should do. I trust the research of the Centers for Disease Control, and they also support that. So the people who are doing the research, who are looking at how the vaccines are tested, how effective they are, they're telling us that they're safe for children in those age groups. And I expect that we'll be finding out that we can give them to children even younger. It's all about science and how do we know something in medicine? And we know because we have an idea, we test it, we look and see if our idea was right or wrong. And we're finding out that these vaccines are safe, they're effective, they save lives. And I'm really happy that we can give them to our adolescents.
Yeah, me too. So, Tao, when you got your vaccine, you got to see your family, but what was like the first normal thing you got to do, you know, as a kid?
Yeah, so my practices for the sport I played started a few weeks after I got the vaccine. So that was a bit of relief. And it was really nice to see all my friends again, you know, all my teammates. And then at the end of the, you know, season, we all got together and we had a pizza party. And it was just really nice to see everyone, you know, see their faces, you know, laugh. And that was just really nice.
I am intrigued, if you would mind entertaining this question. Your friends and you, what do you guys make of all this? Like the pandemic, the vaccines? Do you guys talk about it?
Honestly, we don't really talk about the whole pandemic or the vaccines. I mean, yeah, like I said before, all I remember is that we were like really excited that school got out and we had no idea like what we had in front of us and how long it would take. It was pretty crazy.
I don't think you're alone there. I think every adult could agree with that as well. So Dr. Nelson, I think it's pretty clear that the vaccine made a big difference and a big impact on this family. But can you tell us more about what do the vaccines mean for our community?
The vaccines mean that we can have our community come back to life. It makes me so happy to take my drive to work and come back from work, going through the heart of the town, through downtown Chico. And Teresa knows about downtown Chico because that's where we all kind of hung out when we mm-hmm. were in college. And it's been so devastating to the community, as evidenced by shops that are shuttered and really no people bustling around eating indoors or outdoors for the longest time. And it makes me feel so hopeful as I see people walking in the streets and talking. And today, since it's the 16th of June, people are outside without masks on and you can see their smiles. So the mental health consequences are going to be real. The physical health consequences are going to be real. And I think the economic consequences are going to be real as people get back to a normal life.
What advice do you want to share with those listening who may be on the fence about getting vaccinated?
I think I would advise them to listen to Tao, because you have quite a lot of wisdom for 16. And the fact that you get that you're getting a vaccine shows that you love your family, shows that you care about your friends, and that you see that that's your ticket back to a normal life. And you're right on with all of those. We know the vaccines are safe. We know that people can have side effects that don't feel so great, but the side effects will go away. But the vaccines are really our way out of this. And I would say just listen to Tao.
Do you like having that kind of power?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. It's pretty great for 16. Teresa, was there anything else you wanted to say to the parents who may be listening and are on the fence about vaccinating their kids?
Yeah, I would say the same thing, listen to Tao. But I think it's important for the safety of our family to help everyone, including our kids, get back to a normal life. They've lost so much already. It isn't fair to keep dragging this on. And so I would just say, do it for your kids so that they can get their lives back.
Now you're all vaccinated. What does it feel like? What's next?
Now that we're all vaccinated, we recently had, a family reunion. We were all able to get together. Everybody except for three children were vaccinated at the gathering. We can make plans, right, about vacation. Yeah, so it feels pretty great.
And then is there anything else you guys wanted to add?
We've covered it. It's been delightful to meet you, Tao and Teresa. And again, it's really exciting. It makes me feel hopeful about the future when I hear such wise people like you, Tao.
Thank you.
Y bueno, para todos nuestros padres latinos que tienen todavía dudas acerca de la vacuna, es segura. Yo la he aceptado en mi familia y en verdad que nos ha regresado la vida, nuestra habilidad para reunirnos, para hacer las cosas que hacíamos antes, comer juntos, reírnos juntos. Yo les pediría a todos los padres que por favor consideraran vacunar a sus hijos, vacunarse ustedes mismos si no lo han hecho, para la seguridad de todos, de nuestra familia y de nuestra comunidad.
¿Cómo no? Yo estoy cierto, yo soy de acuerdo con todo que dijo Teresa, y ojalá también que toda la comunidad reciba sus vacunas.
Vaccines can and are making a difference, outside and inside the home. Please, if you have questions, email them here to Health Matters at health.matters@inlo.org, and we will gladly answer your questions. If you want to schedule your vaccine, go to the state scheduling system, myturn.gov, and make your appointment today. It's free, free, free. Teresa and Tao, thank you so much for making us a stop on your family vacation, another great reason to be vaccinated, and thank you for sharing your experience with us. And Dr. Nelson, thank you for explaining how the vaccine works and helping us to understand how vaccines can sustain the joy and excitement and all the hope that we are all feeling in this moment. Thank you all for listening. Get your vaccine if you can. Doing so will protect those who can't. Remember, you matter, your health matters, and take care. If you like what you heard today, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe, and share. The story you share just may save a life. Thanks again for getting real with us today and listening to Health Matters.